Well, hello everyone. My name is Dame Doria D.C. Cordova, and I am the CEO and owner of the Accelerative Business Schools for Entrepreneurs and the Money in You program, which I have been doing for the last 40 plus years with over 145,000 graduates from over 85 countries. We present our programs in English, in Chinese, in Japanese, and soon we're expanding into several languages in India, Bahasa, and also, of course, Spanish. So one of the things that I love to do is that I have had the privilege, by having been there at the beginning of what is called the entrepreneurial, experiential, transformational industry, I have had the opportunity to meet some beautiful people, some absolutely amazing people, all the way from Fidel Castro, with whom I visited for 3 hours in a small group of people in 1984, at the height of the Cold War, to meeting prime ministers and presidents. And then I have had the opportunity of meeting authors and people that have really created a shift somewhere in the world. And so today I bring you my good friend, John Gray. Hi, John.
Hi, happy to be with you.
Thank you. You know, and as I was sharing with you earlier, what I wanted to do was, ever since December 2004, when I first met you, when we did the second meeting of the Transformational Leadership Council, everybody left. It was a Sunday. We were in your beautiful home, and everyone was gone, and you were very tired, and I happened to have my Acuscope.
I remember.
Remember that? And I said, John, would you like to for me to give you a treatment on my Acuscope machine? Very few people on the planet know what it is. And I said, you do know what it is? He said, of course. And of course, you knew lots about it. So I went to my car, got it out. And then I said, should I leave you alone? And you were very gracious. And you said, no. And here I was in the presence of someone that had written one of the most renowned books that it has been translated to 45 languages, you know, the Mars and Venus book. And at that time, I was still feeling very insecure about relationships. And here you are, masterful at that. And also, through the weekend, we had learned how you had moved into all these different areas around how the brain affects not only our moods, but health and male hormones. I mean, you are a trove of expertise around this. And I just asked you questions after question, and you were so gracious. And ever since then, it's been 15 years that I have wanted to get you in front of my audience. So this is an introduction of you to my network, to my friends, to my peeps. And I think that you have a lot of solutions to actually quite a few problems that people have nowadays, especially around health and relationships. So I wanted to just bring you in. So are you open to me asking you questions?
Of course. I'm so happy to talk with you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, John. Well, we've become friends through the years. And of course, I'm always inspired by your long-term relationship with your spouse. So, you know, 34 years, you have 4 girls, you have grandchildren. And I just want to read a little bit about you. You really are... you know, the book Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus is read all over the world. And I have to read a little bit from your bio. It's so extensive. And USA Today, which is quite a large newspaper, not only in the United States, but globally. People really know that particular magazine newspaper. You are listed, your book is listed as one of the top 10, not 100, top 10 most influential books of the last quarter of the century. And in hardcover, it was the number one best-selling book of the 1990s. And so it has been translated 45 languages in more than 100 countries and continues to be a bestseller. I still see it. You know, I'll go to the most amazing countries and your book will be there, the original book. So you've written over 20 books.
Yes.
And you help men and women better understand and respect their differences in both personal and professional relationships. Your approach combines specific communication skills with healthy nutritional choices that create the brain and body chemistry for lasting health, happiness, and romance. and in your many books and blogs and free online workshops, which I'm so excited to introduce you to my network, because, you know, a lot of them are in places like in India and Africa. I have a worldwide community. And frankly, a lot of them can't really afford to go anywhere. And now we have you accessible to them, for them to learn. Because I'm sure there's a little family somewhere in Africa that would love to learn more about how to have more romance in their lives, you know?
I think so.
So, you know, I'm offering you offer, like I do, many free online workshops at MarsVenus.com, practical insights to improve relationships at all stages of life and love. And you are an advocate of an optimal brain function. You also provide natural solutions for overcoming depression, anxiety, and stress to support increased energy, libido, hormonal balance, and better sleep. And I still can't help myself after listening to you several times when I see a man with a big belly, you know, pretty nice body, but they'll have a big belly, how you actually talk about that being a hormonal imbalance. And sometimes when we talk to men, they get really upset if we let them know that they also have hormones. It's so interesting. I really want you to talk about that.
Okay. I love to.
and you have appeared repeatedly in Oprah, as well as the Dr. Oz show, which is a very big show in America. Today, another very big, these are very big shows in the USA and in certain Western countries like Australia and some European countries. And then many morning shows. And the one that I'm really impressed is that you have been profiled in Time Magazine, in Forbes Magazine, USA Today, and People Magazine. And you were also a subject of a three-hour special hosted by Barbara Walters. And so thank you so much, John. So what I like to do is I like to start off with, how did you come up with the idea of writing this book about the difference between men and women, the one that really put you on the map? How did that come about? And, you know, most people don't know that story.
Well, it was my experience. Well, there's many stories that go along with it. It's a big life. But I was a celibate monk for 9 years. So, and I grew up with five brothers. So I'm from Mars. And and I didn't have a lot of experience with girls, women. As a teenager, I was very sexually active. I love women. But I also wanted to grow. And so I was inspired when the Beatles, a famous rock and roll band at the time, the most famous, went to India to study with the Maharishi. He was an Indian spiritual teacher. And he basically taught them that you could get high, but without having to take drugs. So that was great. That was in the generation where people were exploring all these alternative realities. And so I was able to go there and I studied with him for 9 years. I became his personal assistant. I became, for that time, I was a Hindu monk. I was celibate, real celibate, no relationships with women and no release of my energy. But the whole time, muting the sexual energy into higher consciousness. Then it was time for me to come out into the world. My brother, I taught him meditation, but it didn't help him. He was bipolar. That's a condition where you go extreme, schizophrenia. And he would be very, very depressed. And meditation helped a little, but it didn't solve the problem. So I thought, okay, I'm so happy, but I have to take care of my brother. This is around about 28 years old. So I flew back to America to study psychology because I thought maybe that could help my brother. And that started my counseling career. Okay, so now I'm a psychologist, I'm studying psychology, I'm teaching seminars on personal growth. And a cute story, I actually, after being celibate for 9 years, and I came back to America to study psychology, I started having relationships with women. And all I was interested in, having not had sex for 9 years, was sex. So I had lots of girlfriends. And every time with a girlfriend, I would say, now I've been a monk for 9 years, so you have to teach me about your body and teach me what makes you happy in the bedroom, because I want to make you happy in the bedroom. And so I learned all these things that I never knew, and most men don't know about what, and most women don't know. So many women don't know what makes them most fulfilled in sex. So having done that for a year, I thought, okay, I'm a counselor, I'm teaching people, but I'm going to teach classes on sex. Because, and I would just have women and men talk about what makes sex great for them and learn from each other, because most people don't talk about sex and their sexual experience and so forth. So I became a sex educator and got my PhD in sex education and psychology. But as I was teaching sex, I discovered that the purpose of sex is to open our hearts, to share love. And that if you don't share love, if you can't stay connected with love, then you cannot continue to enjoy sex. They go hand in hand.
Yes.
So then, and that's when I met my wife, Bonnie. And Bonnie and I, we love each other so deeply. We have great sex life. We have passion. We have excitement. We have harmony. We have peace. And we earned it. We learned how to do it. It's not automatic. And I remember with our baby, Lauren, she was in the delivery of the baby. She was torn. And so she had to be on medication for a week. Meanwhile, I took care of the baby. I stayed home from work. And then on the seventh day, I went back to work. She says, you have to go to work. And I said, if there's any problems, call me and I'll come. And because she had been in pain, was taking pain pills. Well, I came home that day and she said she'd been in pain all day. And I was upset with her. You should have called me. I would have got the pain pills for you. Why didn't you call me? And she said, oh, I didn't want to bother you. And I asked your brother and he didn't do it. And he's irresponsible. We got into an argument. And, you know, we hadn't slept, you know, the first week after having a baby, you don't sleep a lot. And so we got in this big argument. And so I just did what I do, which is I stopped talking. I started to walk out of the room. And she said to me, John Gray, stop. You're a fair-weathered friend. I'd never heard that expression, fair-weathered friend. When I'm sweet-loving Bonnie, you always are there for me. But if I'm not sweet-loving Bonnie, you walk out the door. Today, just walk over here. Don't speak. Just walk over here and put your arm around me. And I put my arm around her. Because see, I knew as a man, if I kept talking, the argument got worse. So I was walking out to stop the argument.
Right.
But she said, don't speak. Well, I thought, okay, if I don't speak, we can't argue. I was very angry inside. She was upset. I came over, put my arm around her, and she started to cry in my shoulder. And I softened. And we reconnected without words. And in that moment, I said, wow. I had no idea that I could do this and it would make things better.
Oh.
How many men do not understand the importance of stop talking, just put your arm around her and hold her and let her feel your love? And that was a revelation for me, because in my world as a man, and for most men, this is true. When you're angry, you don't want someone to touch you. If you're angry, you want to push people away. You want to go away. Now I have all the scientific evidence of why this is a biological reality for men and why she has a biological reality, which at that time she just needed to feel safe and my arms around her and to feel my love. So this, I said to myself, wow, it's like we're from different worlds. I would have never known this. And knowing this changed my life. And there's so many men who don't know this and so many women who don't know. You know, when there's an argument, often women just keep trying to have the conversation. They ask questions instead of saying, let's not talk. Let's just sit here, put your arms around me and feel your love for me. And wow, that was a revelation. And throughout our whole 34-year marriage, my wife, Bonnie, has told me again and again, different things I could say or do that would make me give her the support she needs, but I become a better person. And there weren't big changes. It was the insight of understanding that we are different as men or women. Then came, I began teaching other observations that I was making about how we were different. One of the most common ones, as a counselor, every day I would hear women, they would say things like, you know, my husband, he just doesn't listen. He just doesn't listen. He just doesn't listen. He doesn't listen. And I would hear men often saying, you know, my wife's never happy. My wife's never happy. And then I realized men are not saying my wife doesn't listen to me. Women are not saying, gee, my husband's just not happy. I said, whoa, look at the complaints that you hear mostly from women and mostly from men, and they're different. That means that we have different needs that are most important to us. We have different misunderstandings. So I began teaching men. I said, look, when your wife is upset, the most important thing you can do is to listen. He says, I do listen. I said, no, you don't. You talk. But I hear and then I respond. And what I taught men is don't talk. Just listen. And when you want to say something, zip it up and say, help me understand that better. And then say, what else? And then say, tell me more. Until she has nothing left to say. And then when you have something to say, she can appreciate it. Because she cannot let in what he has to say until he embraces and understands where she's coming from. So that the short version of that is men always want to fix it. They always want to solve the problem. And so much of the time when a woman is upset about something, she just needs to talk about it and feel connection. And then I learned later, my later books, when women feel connection, their hormones go into balance and they're able to feel loving. If they feel disconnected, it's very hard for them to feel the positive feelings. And for men, they just need to feel positive feelings. They need the hormones of success to feel like I am solving the problem. So men still, I say, you solved the problem, but the problem is she doesn't feel connection. She doesn't need advice. She just needs you to say, tell me more, help me understand and connect with her. That's what's causing her distress. She may think, oh, this problem, I don't know what to do. I have so much to do. Why you're not doing this, not doing this. But what's causing her to feel the stress, the unease, the dis-ease, is she's missing connection. And so by listening to her, hearing her, letting her talk more, this actually stimulates hormonal balance. It increases estrogen in her body, and so that her body can begin to relax again and appreciate once again how wonderful her life is. Mm-hmm. But so many people forget how wonderful life is, what a gift life is, how amazing it is. If we lose touch with that, because our hearts close. Mm-hmm. When our hearts close, we cannot see the good. We cannot express the love. We can maybe think we love our partners, but we don't feel that love. And for men, they need to feel this sense of success that they're doing the right thing. And women need to feel he is doing the right thing. But men have to learn what is it that's required. So that was one of the big messages of Men Are From Mars. And now I explain it in terms of our hormones and our brain chemistry and all those things in later books. But just to have that one insight has changed so many relationships. The other side of that is for women, just understand that often men, when they connect too much, if a man spends a lot of time with his wife and his children, he feels a lot of love, female hormones increase in his body and his male hormones start to go down. And that's called testosterone. It starts to go down. In order to rebuild testosterone, the male hormone, and men need 10 to 50 times more. Otherwise, they're very unhappy. In order to rebuild testosterone, men have to disconnect. So men disconnect in order to find balance. Women connect in order to find balance. So at times of stress, she's wanting to ask questions and he needs to disconnect and she needs to connect. So how can she connect if he's pulling away? First, she needs to find other people to connect in different ways. A man should never be the only way you can feel connection. You connect through a higher power. You connect through friends. You connect through having a coach. You connect by reading a book or taking a webinar. These are all ways you feel connection. Yes. And he should not be the only way to feel connection. So that frees her to shift her attention to other ways to feel connection and give him the space to detach. Men need to detach. I mean, if you look at the whole tradition of Buddhism and Hinduism and meditation, it was primarily taught to men to teach men how to detach. That's like the spiritual truth, to let go of attachment. But love is attachment. But great love is when you have freedom to be detached from trying to change you, but attached to how delicious you are and how much I love you. That's the magic of life, is when you have the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine in balance within yourself. And it's only or primarily through relationship that we can learn how to do that. But relationship is like an atomic bomb, atomic energy. It can destroy us or it can make us better. It's powerful. And many people, they don't know how to harness that power. And so they end up arguing and fighting and then pulling away, or they end up pushing down all their feelings and having no sex, no romance. And that's because they just don't have the insight and the understanding that men and women are different. And if we understand our partner has different needs, priority, we all are the same in that we need love. We need to feel valued. We need to feel we're not alone. But sometimes as a man, he needs to be alone to rebuild his testosterone. And that's what meditation was, to forget all your problems. But for women, it's to talk about their problems, connect, share. And so often men don't understand women. So a woman could be talking and a man says, just forget it. Don't worry about it. Don't be so emotional. But actually emotions is that women are the source of emotion. It's a female hormone, estrogen. They need to have 10 times more, and they need 20 times more than a man in order to feel in love with him.
Yes.
So what creates the estrogen is conversation, affection, touch, romance, compliments. These are like important things. Men don't understand the power of doing the little things that will stimulate these hormones in women, because men don't need more estrogen and women don't need more testosterone. It's good for women. They feel good, but it's not their primary need to find balance. So now with the greater understanding of men are from Mars, women are from Venus, it's like we're from different worlds. It opens up an awareness that says, oh, let me begin to understand and validate where my partner's coming from rather than make them wrong. Because man, he comes home often, he needs to forget all his problems.
Yes.
That's the cave. He needs to disconnect from everybody, do something alone. And women go, what? He doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't want to connect with me. He doesn't love me. And of course, that's not true. And so once you understand his needs, then you don't take it personally. You don't feel, oh, he's not loving me. And then when he pulls away, a woman goes, oh, give him lots of space. And then after a little while, you ask, oh, when you have time, will you help me with something? And then he comes out of the cave. But the cave is when he's in there, don't ask him questions. Often, you know, I would come home and I'm trying to forget the problems of the day. And then my wife starts asking me about the problems of the day. I'm trying to forget that. I don't want to think about that.
Yes.
And so those are some common examples that I learned from Bonnie in our relationship. So we can learn to embrace and accept our differences and then appreciate the differences.
Yes. Well, John, I was just thinking that I'm going to get this webinar to the government of Malaysia, Singapore, and China, particularly Singapore. Singapore, I don't know if you know the challenges that they're having there now. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but everything that you just said is so relevant. I mean, you know, I heard some of this in the 90s, you know? And so here you fast forward 25 years later, and it's still persisting in emerging nations.
Yes.
China has a huge challenge. Don't get me started on that in many different areas, but relationships. I mean, they even have government-sponsored events, you know, where they do these dances and they try so hard to get men and women together because so many of them are just distancing themselves. And there's whole generations now that, you know, men and women that are going into 40s and 50s that are completely disconnected, no relationship whatsoever. They hang out with their friends and with their family, but not in relationship. So maybe there's a higher purpose why we're doing this today. And so
I think so. Actually, I do more seminars in China than anywhere else in the world. And you said it very good. In emerging economies, that's where the problems start to happen because the reality becomes different. If a woman is dependent on her husband for food, then she's not going to complain that he's not affectionate, he's not romantic or anything like that. It's all based on this idea was discovered in the 1940s by Abraham Maslow, where he explained that the world has been always seeking survival. We just want to get our money. We want to get our food. We want to get our basic needs met. But once the needs for a home, to some place to live, and some food in the stomach, and some police to take care of us, a government, then suddenly people rise to a higher level of need. They have a need for emotional fulfillment. The need for emotional fulfillment increases. Men suddenly want to experience their wives are happy. And women want to experience their husbands are more interested in her, more empathetic to what she's going through. These become just as important as the need for food. Yes. There's a hunger for emotional fulfillment. So when I analyze divorce, and this is in America, this is in China, anywhere, what you'll see is that when people are seeking a divorce, often women will have a long list of complaints. They say, he does not do this. He doesn't listen to me. He's not affectionate with me. He ignores me. He drinks too much. He's messy. He's not attentive to me. He doesn't help me at all. I'm overwhelmed with so much to do. He doesn't seem to care. He just ignores me. It'll be a long list of things where she says, I'm so loving. I'm giving. I'm doing this for him. I give and give and give, but I'm not getting back. And so she feels resentful. And when she feels resentful, her heart closes and she cannot feel her love. The connection is gone. It slowly erodes over time as she gives, but doesn't feel she's getting the emotional fulfillment that she needs. It's the emotional attention, affection, understanding, compliments, love, hugs. Hugs are amazingly powerful to experience the emotional nurturing. So the other side of this, what men say, if I take a man alone and I say, okay, what is the real problem here? He says, my wife is never happy. That's it. Now, see, men need to feel a sense of I can provide her happiness. Mm. That's an emotional need that men had. In the past, men didn't care that much whether their wives were happy. Then the thing I hear them say over and over is we've lost the passion. We want the connection. We want the romance. And then at a certain point, they give up on that and they just want peace and harmony. But that what we have to know is that once we have a certain level of financial abundance, the yes. basic needs are met. Now I'm an entrepreneur. Now I can make more money. Now the economy has changed. Now our emotional needs become very, very important. Also add to that, once women are making money on their own, that also changes everything because their need for a man becomes less. You know, if you need someone to give you food, you don't mind if they're messy. You don't have other requirements. Oh, you're so grateful to have somebody who's providing food. You see, our protection. Oh, if you have someone you're dependent on, you don't criticize them. You're so grateful. It's a natural thing to feel tremendous gratitude for somebody who's giving you something you really need. Yes. So what happens is in the old time, women could appreciate their husbands and not complain because the man was doing his job. Today, women have a lot of complaints because the man's not doing his job, but it's a new job. And the job is not articulated. It's not that difficult of a job, but he needs to know what the job is, like to listen, to ask questions, to give hugs, to in the bedroom, to have bedroom skills. These are not skills for the woman to excite the man. These are skills for the man to excite the woman. Women need foreplay. They need affection. They need compliments. They need to feel safe. All those things men don't know. They're like a race car. They want to rush right into it. They don't understand that women are from Venus. They need time, lots of time to open up. So there's an art to all of this. Once you learn it, it's relatively easy. Like learning a software for a computer is crazy if you don't have an instruction manual. Crazy hard. But once you get over the hump, so to speak, where you know the software, boy, it becomes so easy. It becomes so easy, but you have to learn it. So we need today a new software to make our relationships work, not just emotionally, but a part of emotion is sexual fulfillment, romantic fulfillment, connection, communication, and women learning how to ask for what they want. This is a whole new art, because in previous generations, women didn't have to ask. They basically, men knew their job, women had their job, culture taught us. Today, the old culture is still good, but needs a few adjustments that help us to find this new level of emotional fulfillment, which is why people get divorced today. They don't experience the emotional fulfillment.
Thank you. Well, now I want you to take us to, how did you start then discovering and the whole hormonal aspect and the, I know that it was an evolution for you, but I'm particularly interested in men's health. You know, I work around so many very successful men with everything handled and in certain parts of the world with wives and girlfriends, and it's all acceptable and blah, blah, blah. But their health and their bellies, you know, the whole piece about them wanting to look good, and then they go to the gym all the time but can't lose that weight, and then they get frustrated and feel unattractive, and then there was this spiral that they go down that, you know, especially if they're very successful, they have reached a pinnacle of success and they feel so unattractive, so unsuccessful. So could you share with us some of those distinctions that you have learned through the year?
Okay, well, there's a lot of distinctions, but the one you just mentioned, successful men, then they get a belly. First of all, what is a belly? In a man, when you start gaining weight, you start getting fat in the belly. Fat is produced by estrogen. Your body makes fat in order to continue making estrogen. So when you eat meats, for example, that have hormones added, you're taking female hormones into your body, and that will cause more belly fat. That's one thing. We're going to go through the whole list. The other is when foods have pesticides instead of organically grown, but they have pesticides. Pesticides bind in the body with what's called estrogen receptor sites and say to the brain that your estrogen levels are high. Well, whenever a man's estrogen levels are high, be it from the meats he eats or the pesticides on the vegetables, estrogen high means the body makes less testosterone. Whenever men have belly fat, that's a sign the estrogen levels are higher than the testosterone levels. When testosterone goes up and estrogen goes down, then you lose the weight. So that belly fat is a sign of men's testosterone levels are starting to go down, down. Now, now we're going to do the distinction of successful men. At a certain point in a man's life where he becomes so successful, in the case, I know this to be true of myself, I don't have to do anything. I made it, okay? So people say, why do you keep working? Why do you keep writing books, you know? Well, one of it is I know I'm born to be of service. I don't have to do it for the money. But not having enough money is a major motivator to produce testosterone. So when you feel I have to do something, your body produces testosterone to give you energy to do it. But as soon as you get to a point where you've made it, or you get to a point for other men who realize I'm not going to make it any more than I've made. You know, there's a point for many men where they go, okay, these bigger dreams aren't going to happen. I'll just relax and retire or go at kind of at a the ambition is gone. They're just going to keep it the same. Or they've achieved their goals. In my case, having achieved a whole set of goals, then I don't have to. And money, the need to make money is such a major motivator. It's survival, basic. And also it becomes then emotional for a man. So other people see him as successful. So he's able to provide for the people he loves. All of that is testosterone producing. But as soon as I don't have to make money, then I start to relax more, and my estrogen, I start to do more of what I like to do, enjoy to do. My estrogen levels go up. Whenever you're doing something that just feels good, you like to do it and it's fun, there's no risk involved, that's estrogen producing. Now, I, as a man, I'm a blend of testosterone and estrogen. Estrogen allows me to feel love, but testosterone is what gives me confidence. Testosterone is what gives me motivation. Testosterone is what gives me energy. So when men don't have to do things, they're not going to naturally make more testosterone. and they're going to tend to just do fun things, and or like lots of girlfriends who he can spend money on and please them. And he can go online and do online porn and imagine he's having sex with all these women. Well, that's very enjoyable, very enjoyable. It doesn't make testosterone and actually lowers his testosterone levels. We now have the evidence showing that.
Wow.
The lower a man's testosterone levels are, he can no longer feel aroused to his wife, to someone he loves. But if it's someone he doesn't love, someone he doesn't know, then temporarily, one time or two times, his testosterone will go up. That's why you have an addiction to porn today, is that it's easy for men with low testosterone to get excited if they don't know the person. Wow. And that's because if you know someone, you have affection for them, estrogen gets produced. And if a lot of estrogen is being produced and your testosterone levels are relatively low, they go even lower and you can't get erection. You can't get turned on. So many men, they just become tired when they come home because they love their wives. Are they familiar with their wives? Are they feel comfort? See, when things are comfortable and easy, like two, we figured out how not to have arguments, but we're just partners, kind of like brother and sister, family members, husband and wife become, then the man can't become aroused. He can't become sexually aroused to his wife. But to a stranger, because there's no comfort, there's no serotonin being produced. That's a brain chemical of comfort and ease. So, but with a woman online, there's no serotonin, only dopamine. It's the newness, the sexual attraction. There's never a history of anything going wrong. So that dopamine, that fantasy, the dopamine goes up, the testosterone goes up. There's no estrogen because you don't have a relationship with them. Then suddenly, he will experience temporarily what it feels like to be a man again, to feel conqueror, the confidence, the energy, the motivation, the hopefulness in life, all of that good energy that we have as young men, if we feel loved and supported in our life, that increases for a short period of time. And then it depletes and it depletes and it depletes. And then you
have to. That's where men that have what they call midlife crisis, that's what it is. It's a hormonal thing?
Well, yes, there's also a hormonal shift at midlife where estrogen levels start to get higher. And what you need at midlife, as it's a natural phenomenon for both men and women to have a switch in hormones. As women get to midlife, we often call that menopause, her estrogen levels will drop. She can't make babies anymore. There'll be a natural shift where testosterone, the male hormone, becomes a bit more active to balance out the estrogen. Okay. Now, ideally, she spent her life learning how to be feminine, which means how to receive. Then she gets into her testosterone mode of giving. See, giving is actually masculine. Most people don't realize that.
Wow.
We think of giving as a giver as a female. No, think of the fireman who gives his life to save others. Think of the soldier who gives his life. Think of the whole history of men who will give up comfort, ease. They'll do the dirty jobs, the dangerous jobs, the difficult jobs, and they feel good doing it because some woman's going to go, "You're my hero."
Yes. But
men are actually the givers when they're in balance, okay? If they're not in balance, they become receivers, which is lazy. When men are receivers, they become lazy, and they just enjoy their lives. Their estrogen levels start to go higher and higher. Their testosterone goes down. It's all about my pleasure, what I want to do. I don't want to have to work. Women, what happens if they don't establish in the receiving, learning how to receive, then when menopause comes, they're like men. They're just going to, I'm going to solve the problems of the world. I'm going to fix everything. I'm going to do it all. But they're not happy. Right. It's good to do it all if you're also happy, but that comes from your estrogen. So you have to keep the balance. Men, as they naturally get older, we become wiser. Wisdom is more estrogen in a man's body. Wisdom is empathy. Wisdom is knowing when you say something, what effect is it going to have on others? Wisdom is knowing that, how things affect other people. If you're just testosterone, you're just thinking about, okay, what do I do to achieve my goal? You're not thinking, how will that affect everybody else other than just me? So that's a wisdom that happens as men develop their confidence in what I can do. Then naturally, their estrogen levels start to rise. But if they're, as they get to midlife and beyond, but as estrogen goes up, my estrogen's way higher than when I was a young man at 67 years old. My estrogen's very high, but my testosterone is 50% higher than when I was a young man. It's way higher than my estrogen. Wow. And that's because I have learned how to be successful, and not just successful in the world. Success in the world is only a testosterone booster when you're a young man. Look what I can accomplish. Look what I achieve. But as the wisdom grows, is what's the point of any success, any money, if it's not helping other people?
Wow.
So you can be a successful man and you come home and your wife is not happy. Your energy will drop just like that. A woman's unhappiness can knock down a man's testosterone just like that. It can also build his testosterone. You know, in many cultures, if a husband is a failure, often they blame the wife.
Yes.
And this is because if a man is a success, they look, who is the wife? Who helped him be the success? Yes. Everybody always wants to beat Bonnie. You know Bonnie. They go, oh, you know, who's the woman that made John who he is? And I have so much wisdom. I can now, as a man, recognize that almost everything I've learned, I learned from her. Everything I've done has been motivated through her. And that the woman energy is what, it's like a magnet that pulls out greatness in a man. But she has to also learn how to bring forth that love, to bring out the best in her partner. And he has to learn how to behave, what to do, what to say, what not to say, in order for her to access the feminine beauty and radiance and love and acceptance and unconditional love and conditional love, which says, if you do more, you get more. You know, these are all part of life. Women can have that power inside of them to bring up a man. But today, we don't have the knowledge of how to access those powers because the world has changed. As the economy increases, as women have become more independent,
yeah,
they need a new knowledge to help them come back to improving the estrogen levels in their body, to improve the yin energy in their body. You know, in acupuncture and in Chinese medicine, so much of it is about too much yang energy, too much yin energy. You have to balance those energies. That's in the body, as in the body, in our behavior, in our life. And if we look globally, what's happening today as a reaction to freedom, greater freedom to make your dreams come true, greater individuation, which is, okay, now I can choose to waste this money or invest this money. You know, what can I do? This independence that people have creates a whole new set of problems.
Yes.
That's the whole set of problems. And particularly as women are independent, that creates a whole bunch of solutions to free them from a dysfunctional relationship. Okay. They should be free from a dysfunctional relationship. But at the same time, it gives them more choice. It's always harder to make a choice when you have so many options. You know, if there's three options, it's a much easier than if there's 50 options. Your mind starts comparing and comparing and comparing. And the only thing that it can allow you to make the choice, to feel committed to the choice, is when, for women, is when their hormones are in balance with more estrogen at the right times of the day and the right times of the month. And for men, the right amount of testosterone. Because if you can look at it, the sexual attraction, the interest, the caring, the love, all that, oh, I just want to give my life to this woman. I'm devoted to her. Those moments, if you look in a man's body, his testosterone is very, very high and his estrogen is also rising too. For a woman, when she feels in love, her estrogen, and this you can measure, when a woman is attracted and feeling romantically excited by a man, her estrogen levels double. Okay, yeah. This is just a requirement for her. And it's not how much estrogen, it's in the balance. It's the balance. I mean, certainly if there's none, you have to produce some hormones. But the key to this is the balance of the hormones in your body so that she always has more yin energy than the yang energy because she's a woman. She has different hormonal needs in order to for the body to be healthy, for the mood to be positive, and for the heart to open and feel the love. And that's why, you know, I'm a sex educator as well as a communication teacher, because we have to learn how to behave outside the bedroom, how to behave inside the bedroom. And just as a point of note that I think everybody should be aware of, even when I say in Asia, sex education, there's a lot of judgment on that because they think, oh, that's like training prostitutes, how to excite a man, how to do that. That's not my sex education. It's training men how to provide fulfillment for women. That's the whole secret. Well, women in the modern age, the number one thing men need, when I talked about it before, was men feel, I want my wife to be happy. There's no greater moment in a marriage when a woman is happy than when she feels safe to open up sexually with her husband. Yes. The happiness she feels at that time triggers huge testosterone levels in a man. You know, if you're the CEO of a company, that makes you what's called alpha male. You're the boss. You're the big shot. Just having that role will increase your testosterone. But if you come home to an unhappy wife, it will crash down.
Wow.
Because a woman has that power. Or he says, I don't care what my wife thinks, and gets a girlfriend. And then when she's not happy, he finds another girlfriend. And that's just, but it doesn't, it's not going to be created with love. It will always become more of an addictive tendency that's less satisfying afterwards. It's like, yeah, I can eat a whole quart of ice cream and because that feels so good. And next day I don't feel that good. And see, if you can do the porn, you know, even when men are so busy with porn, they have to know ejaculation is really feels fantastic for a man. Okay. It's like a huge dose of cocaine. That's the same thing that's happening in the brain when a man ejaculates. It's huge pleasure you feel. But pleasure at high levels can be addictive. And the problem with ejaculation is every time you ejaculate, only one of the problems is that the chemicals in what you ejaculate in the semen, a whole daily dose of zinc, 5 milligrams of zinc go out of your body. That's a daily dose of zinc. Every day you're losing the zinc. And for your brain to function, zinc is vitally important to make testosterone, as well as for every brain cell to protect itself from toxicity. So this is why we see more mental problems now with boys.
Wow.
Boys are masturbating all the time. They're losing their zinc, which is life force. These are like very important minerals that they become depleted in. Also, if you ejaculate more than once a week, your testosterone levels will stay at a moderate level to low level. If you can go for 6 days, the Japanese did this study. If you can ejaculate and then wait 6 days, if you're a man, before you ejaculate again, on the 7th day, your testosterone levels will double.
Wow.
That's what you want, is you want to not be masturbating, but you want to be getting that are not giving up sex as well. You have to ejaculate to say that you're still working. Then testosterone levels drop down. Then they slowly build up. And then on the 7th day, they double. And you get to feel Superman inside. And it's done with love. If it's done with love, someone you love, then it has a more powerful effect. It overcomes the estrogen in your relationship. If you can't ejaculate with the person you love, then you can't recondition the brain to be attracted to your wife. It's that once a week sex where the man ejaculates will recondition his brain. But if he ejaculates during the week with another woman or with porn or by himself, he doesn't get that reconditioning. One of the most important discoveries I've made is in the whole basis of psychology is conditioned response, automatic conditioned response. You see, this part of the brain can make choices, but the middle part of the brain and the instinctive part of the brain, that's programmed. And we program ourselves through our experiences. If I put my hand in fire, next time I'm close to heat, automatically fear will come up inside of me. That's a conditioned response, automatically. If you have a dog and the dog's eating the food, it's making enzymes to digest the food. Salivation, water in the mouth will start happening in the dog just looking at the food. If you ring a bell at the same time, a few times, then the dog has no food, but you ring the bell and it will start to salivate.
Yes.
This is called conditioned response. Now let's understand what happens in marriage. A man ejaculates. Every time a man ejaculates, he will lose energy. He loses zinc, but every man knows that the next day, most men ejaculate Saturday night, the next day they're kind of having the day off. Sunday, the day off. He sits in front of a TV set. He relaxes. He doesn't have that ambition, the juice. It's a relaxation day. Okay. And then gradually, if you measure what happens, his testosterone levels come back down to his norm. If he goes for 6 days without ejaculating, then in the presence of his wife, his testosterone levels will double. That's called counter conditioning. You see, the first conditioning is I'm making love to my wife. Estrogen goes up when I ejaculate. So now when I see my wife, estrogen goes up and testosterone goes down. So men will be feeling sexy during the day. As soon as they come home, they feel tired. No, testosterone goes right down because they've conditioned response is that when I connect with my wife, my estrogen goes up. If I've had sex with her, it goes up even higher. My testosterone goes down. Now I've lost interest in my wife sexually because my testosterone goes down in her presence. It's a conditioned response over many, many years, sometimes just 3 years. For the younger generation, it can be just a year because their testosterone levels are so much lower than previous generations for men. Or he's a retired man, boom, a few ejaculations with his wife, he can't be turned on to her. But to a woman he doesn't know, there's no conditioned response that if I have sex with her, my energy will go down. So men with their wives lose interest. If you wait 6 days and then you have sex with your wife on the seventh day and you ejaculate, you do counter conditioning because you conditioned that with my wife, I lose energy. On the seventh day, oh, I'm in the presence of my wife. It doubles. You just want to be in the presence of your wife at that time. Have sex with her every Saturday night or whatever day of the week you agree to. And even if you're not in the mood, you should go through the motions, because if you stopped having sex, so many people have stopped having sex a long time, you should treat it like we need to go to the gym and exercise. You will always resist. Once you're out of balance, you resist going into balance. Okay? So out of balance is like on a tightrope. I'm falling to the right. It's easy just to keep going to the right. You have to overcome resistance to come back to the other side. To find balance, you always have to overcome resistance. You have to do what doesn't feel like what you want to do. You have to go against your resistance because you know better. So that's the knowledge that we need. So you start from zero on Saturday night. Then he has, and then he doesn't ejaculate the whole week. Then he will have sex again. His testosterone will double and he changes the conditioning. It's called counter conditioning. So now he experiences that with my wife, my testosterone levels increase. And then he ejaculates, it goes back down. Now, better than that is in Taoism, which I learned in China, is men can learn many times to have sex and not ejaculate. So you experience the pleasure of being with your partner, giving her orgasms, but not orgasming the man. He can learn to do this, certain muscular exercises and so forth. And I teach a whole class on that. But once he learns how to do that, then he can have many, many orgasms, give his wife many, many orgasms and not lose his energy, then he will want her all the time. You see, what women don't realize is that when a man ejaculates, another hormone gets produced called prolactin, which causes his desire to go away. But another, if he sees another woman, he has desire for her. But with his wife, prolactin causes the desire to go down for 6 days, and then it will come back up with more testosterone. This is also amazing. But if a man has sex with a woman he doesn't know, he doesn't make prolactin. So now he wants sex again, and that's called sexual addiction. Always wanting sex with a different woman, a new woman, not the same woman, or doing it on your own, looking at pornography. This becomes addictive, just like taking cocaine and those various things. And it weakens the brain. It causes us to age and it causes men to have that belly fat. And once you have that belly fat, what you then need to do is give up masturbating only once a week with your wife. And you do it then, and that's it. You have to go very strict on that. And then you also need to practice kicking out the enzymes in the liver, eating lots of cauliflower and broccoli and bok choy. These are what's called cruciferous vegetables. Just that should be the main diet that you eat, along with hormone-free meat if you eat meat. And of course, rice is fine again. But this diet will help to kick that estrogen out of the body. because your body has accumulated it. It will never go away until you start eating those vegetables to make it go away. And it will over time.
So complete that sentence and I want to ask you a question. Go ahead.
No, that was it. Is it those vegetables will help you go through. Another one that will help you to burn that fat in the belly very fast is following the sexual practices I just mentioned. But the next one is very popular right now in America. And it's a diet that says go for 14 hours without eating. Now, this could be hard for many women, but it's easy for men. If you want to knock off that belly fat, just cut out a lot of the carbs, just the cauliflower, broccoli, those vegetables, some good rice, some meats, some eggs, some fish. The more protein you have, the less fat you'll put on your body. It can be very fat. You can have lots of fat in your protein. Doesn't matter. It's the sugars. Avoid the sugars and the ice creams and those things, the breads. Just avoid that and have 14 hours in between meals. Now, for me, I'm like Superman. I have unlimited energy. I have sex every day, and I'm, I don't ejaculate. But my weight, I used to have this belly, and I said at 50, I'm 67 now. It's all muscle now. And a lot of guys go to the gym to work out. I don't. I just follow a regime of regular sex. I walk, and then I have pretty much I don't eat unless it's dinner time. That gives me almost 24 hours. What happens is when you go for periods without eating and you're not hungry, then what happens is your body can take the food that you ate and completely utilize it. If you keep eating, your body can never utilize the food, so it keeps storing it and putting on fat. So there's actual research. If you go for 14 hours, even 14 hours, which means you'd skip breakfast. You just have a cup of coffee at breakfast, have a nice lunch and dinner and not eat late. You'd have 14 hours in between. But if you can go 14 hours in between, you'll start kicking those estrogens out of your body very quickly. I mean, literally in 1 or 2 months, you'll be back like a young guy. And so I find it's very easy for men. If you have somewhat of a physical activity in your life, you can drink coffee, caffeine in the morning. I start with a cup of coffee, takes away any hunger cravings, maybe have another cup at lunch or some green tea, and that's it. And then I just have dinner. And I feel great all the time. I'm never hungry because I have what's called balanced blood sugar. If you don't have balanced blood sugar, you will get hungry. And so it's not good to be hungry. If you're hungry, that also causes your body to stress. And when you're stressed, you hold on to fat. You can't burn fat in your belly if you're stressed. That's the most important thing. Wow. If you can skip a meal, either breakfast or dinner, you will start losing that extra fat for men in their belly. A man should always find his wife 4 times a day. For me, I made it a system. I wake up in the morning, I give my wife a hug, and it's more than a quick hug. It's a 6-second hug, just connection, heartfelt connection. Mm-hmm. Then before I leave or she leaves, another heartfelt connection. And then when she comes home or I come home, a heartfelt connection. And then before bed, always a heartfelt connection. That's at least 4 hugs a day. You can't overdo it. Why do we need to do this? Our parents didn't do it. People in the past didn't do it. Well, science tells us today that when you hug someone in a non-sexual way, this is not a sexual hug, this is an affection hug. I love you hug. You're important to me hug. I miss you hug. I look forward to seeing you soon hug. When you do that and you feel these tender feelings in your heart, it's non-sexual. If it's non-sexual, then a hormone called oxytocin gets produced. And what oxytocin does in both a man and woman's body is it increases estrogen. Women today, more than any other time in the history of humanity, need to make more stimulation to create estrogen. Why? Because women today are more independent than anywhere in history. And independence is yang energy, it's testosterone energy. And it's not that women should not be independent. It's that women need to balance the independence with the yin, the receptive energy. Well, they're just receiving back. They're giving all the time. They need to receive back. And that receiving back is the feminine energy. And so that hug is highly significant on a basis again and again.
Thank you. No, go ahead, complete.
Okay, well, I was about to say, it's another big idea that's in Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I'll just mention that I didn't have this understanding, and when I wrote Men Are From Mars, about the hormones. I just knew the behaviors. I gave my wife 4 hugs a day, and I listened to her. And now I know all the hormones associated with it, why it's so important, and why it's more important as we become more, as the culture changes, with greater entrepreneurs, with greater financial security, and greater governmental security. So women, what do you need a man for? When you don't need a man for those basics, what do you need him for? You need him in order to experience a higher level of happiness through emotional support. And why do men need women? It's a woman's happiness that provides us a big boost. Mm-hmm. I can be happy on my own. I was a monk, but I'm much happier if I have someone I love that I'm taking care of. And that's what men have to learn. Women already instinctively know that when you give to other people, you feel good. It's for men, that's their lesson in life, is to learn to be completely selfless. That's the greatest thing there is. And for women, the greatest thing is to learn how to receive, how to be selfish. And knowing that when you receive, it's a gift to the world. When you're happy, the flowers are blooming. You know, when you're expressing your beauty, the world is a more beautiful place. The yin energy is missing today. You know, they say women are on the rise. Actually, femininity is going down. Masculinity is going way up. Is that? But we, with the training, more femininity can come out of women because they feel more secure on their own. It gives them the permission to take a risk and go further to the female side.
Yeah.
See, women are afraid to go to the female side, need too much, because then what if if your partner leaves you, then you're too dependent. But if you can be independent, it frees you with the right instructions how to come over and be so open to be surrendering your heart to someone and just feel the joy of letting go of all responsibility in those moments of romantic ecstasy. And this is a balanced place of balancing the yin and the yang energies. And when we do that, and turn, you know, all your classes, money and you, prosperity, that great prosperity comes when you have both yin and yang energy inside of you. That's where often people talk about the flow. That's where creativity happens. That's where stamina happens. Yes. That's when motivation happens. That's when you're thinking a bigger picture. That's when you're no longer thinking me, me, me. You see, we are individual antennas. We pull forth the energy and the support of the universe when our hearts are open. But if it's just to me, only that much energy comes. But my focus and your focus is the world. When I'm thinking about the world, all so much energy comes through my body, you know, just like flows through and balances my hormones. And then we become tested. Life will throw these obstacles in front of us that knock us out of balance. Addictions happen for people who are successful. Divorce happens, arguments, ego starts the entitlement, you know, men, I deserve this. Women, I deserve this. We get all caught up in our sense of false entitlement. We lose our humility. Hormonal balance is humbleness, you know, and it feels a connection with others and a desire to serve. And I see my, you know, people have always, you know me for years. People always say, oh, John, you're so successful. You're so humble. That's wisdom. And I have so much more wisdom than then. I mean, it blows my mind how I continue to grow in life by continuing to be committed to finding this hormonal balance. Yin, yang, energy, both in my life.
Thank you, John. Now, you know, I know that you have different books that, you know, when people go to your site, and I'm going to have links for you so they don't even have to think about it. So what I'd like to do is, can you just give us a couple of the books on some of the subjects that you have covered so that they know? And then if you can just recommend maybe some supplements or something that we can just go and find that will help us today. I know. Okay. You're so good at that.
Okay. Yeah, I have several books on that. Okay. So I've talked about Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And the one point I was just making, and I'll come back to your request, was there's a chapter on there about little things make a big difference. Men don't realize this, is that I can give my wife 24 roses and her estrogen levels will go like this. Oh, how wonderful. I can also bring her one rose and her estrogen levels will do the same thing. You don't have to do a lot of big things. You need big things occasionally, but lots of little things keeps the estrogen going. And men don't know that. They think, oh, if I do the big stuff, I don't need to do the little stuff. And women don't know. They often learn to be very forgiving of the big stuff. But when it's little stuff, say, oh, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. And so they don't have any sense of the negativity they're putting out if they make complaints about little things. But actually, that's the most destructive thing in the relationship. If it's a little thing, don't complain. If it's a big thing, complain, fine. Only if it's a big thing, he'll understand. But if it's a little thing, men are insulted by, because you imagine a husband with dirty feet, okay? Dirty feet on the floor. If this is the leader of your country, the leader of your country that you voted for, and you respect this person tremendously, and they walk into your house with muddy feet, are you gonna correct them? No, because it's a little thing. They do so many big things, you don't point out the little things. But women think, oh, of course I appreciate the big things. I'm only complaining about the little things. No, it's complaining about the little things that irritates men the most. And for men, it's you want to do the big stuff for a woman. Yes, that's good. But the little things are more important. Lots of the little things. So that's just a simple concept. Men go, wow, I didn't know that. Hugs four times a day is better than any expensive restaurant. I mean, it's amazing. The little things, once we understand our physiology and our biology. So Men Are From Mars talks about the behavioral shifts. Then there's a book I've been referring to a lot today about hormones, and that's called Beyond Mars and Venus. Beyond Mars and Venus, because modern relationships are beyond the more traditional Mars-Venus relationship. The need for women to have more romance, better communication, more affection is even greater. How a man can help bring her back to that place. How a woman can train a man to bring her back to that place. Because generally women are going to read the book, and that's the most important thing, because women have to learn how to educate a man about her body, about her needs, in a way that he doesn't get turned off. So this is all, that's the Beyond Mars and Venus. And the first step before we ever, ever, ever try to change our partner's behavior, reactions, responses, emotions, we have to first learn how to change ourselves.
Yes.
Our partners are not responsible for our happiness. Our partners can only make us happier. But you cannot demand change if you're not coming from a place of happiness. We have to open our hearts on our own, and our partners can bring us higher. And that's our job. So that I can teach all these things on how to ask for help, how to get more, how to get your partner to change. None of it will work if you're doing it from a place of emptiness, judgment, resistance, resentment, hurt. All of that, that's your job. It's an inside job. Love is an inside job. Then the world will start to reflect more of what you want. And that's in every area of your life. That's money in you. You know, you can't be desperate for money. You've got to live as if. You've got to be, okay, it's coming to me now. It's like, I'm coming from a place of confidence that I deserve it. I can have it. Then desire comes forth strong and passionate, and you then appreciate every step of the way. Then more comes to you. More comes as you appreciate more. Love is not just for happy marriages. Love is for money. You know, I joke about a title of a book would be called Make Love, Make Money, but then it would sound like prostitution. But the truth is, the more love I have in my life, the more money comes, you know, you appreciate it, makes increasing the value. So Beyond Mars and Venus, I talk about today. And then I have a book called Mars, Venus in the Bedroom, which is the basic sexual skills to sustain romantic passion. And that book I did not teach about ejaculation as I did in great detail today. That online course will be coming soon at my website, marsvenus.com, which has lots of blogs that people can connect with. And we have different online courses and so forth So right now we're going through a transition on my website. They may not be up right now because we've improved it 100 times better with more. Then there's my book called Staying Focused in a Hyper World. That's about the brain science of why we get addicted to things that aren't good for us. Okay. Wow. Arguing is an addiction to things that aren't good for us. Anxiety is an addiction. Worrying is an addiction. When people worry more than you want, it's an addiction because it makes dopamine. Pornography, overworking, complaining too much. This unhappiness is an addiction to the drama. This is very interesting. Complaining is a major dopamine stimulator. And therefore, our brain will just keep going back to it as opposed to learning how to appreciate and enjoy your life. These are things that are automatic, but they're not addictive. Okay, being loving is not addictive. It's normal. The addictions are the things that throw us off balance. They're constantly throwing us off balance. So I explained in that the brain chemistry and just some supplements. Now, I hesitate to mention too much about the supplements because you can't get them in all countries. But right. What you can get, if you have friends in America, you can go have them order online. The most important and simple and cheap is lithium orotate. Now, lithium orotate is the most misunderstood mineral and the most important for brain function. Why it's so important is because when our hormones are out of balance and we feel stressed, it's the first mineral that we become depleted in. It's also when we experience a hunger for sweets. Anybody who wants sweets, sweets will deplete the brain of minerals, of the mineral lithium. Okay, so if you like sweets, you don't have enough lithium. If you're stressed a lot, you don't have enough lithium. If you're depressed or anxiety, you don't have enough lithium. Lithium, and also if you're having lots of sex, you might be running out of lithium, because even if it's good sex, because intensity, anything which is intense will cause you to run out of lithium unless you're getting lots of lithium. And we don't get all the lithium we need. In Russia, beet soup is very popular, borscht, because the cold winters and so forth, depression was very common without enough sunlight. And they figured it out. Eat lots of borscht soup. Beets are the highest in lithium. But you can buy a form of lithium that's very inexpensive. In America, it's $10 for a month's supply. So this is like the cheapest supplement you can buy. If you went to your doctor and said, oh, should I take this? They would say no, because there's two kinds of lithium. Doctors only know about lithium carbonate. What I'm talking about is lithium low-dose lithium orotate, lithium orotate. Lithium carbonate is just taking it right out of the ground and giving it to people. And you have somebody with massive depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, anxiety, and they take high doses of lithium carbonate, the symptoms will go away, whatever they're disturbed about. But there'll be side effects of taking 500 times the dose of a mineral. Any mineral you take, 500 times the dose will make you sick. 500 times the dose of calcium will cause you to have a heart attack. 500 times the dose of magnesium will cause you to have diarrhea and you'll die of dehydration. Okay, all these, any mineral, too much is not good. The doctors give too much lithium in order for it to work because they're using an inferior form. A German doctor, Dr. Hans Nieper, discovered if you take a little lithium, it's a mineral, all natural, and bind it to a substance in mother's milk called orotic acid. It becomes lithium orotate. And then you take low dose, the normal dose. We have to say low dose because it's in comparing it, but it's the normal dose of one of these little pills that has about 4.5 milligrams, tiny bit of lithium, and then about 150 milligrams, somewhere in that range of orotic acid, and or 200. And you could take one as a normal dose, three under stressful days. And if you're depressed, extreme symptoms, you would then take five a day. More is not going to be better. Okay. If it doesn't do it all by itself, then you're not getting enough sunshine. You're not getting enough vegetables. You have to realize it's not just one mineral. It's just that's the one we tend to run out of if we're also getting sunshine, if we also have relationships. I can give you lithium orotate, but if you get no sunshine, you eat no vegetables, and you stay in a dark room, not talking to anybody all day, you will become depressed. It won't do anything for you. The number one thing to overcome everything is a communication, affection, love, service, valuing others, valuing yourself, all the things we're talking about.
Yes.
You need those, but if you don't have the nutrients, all of that won't help. You can get all of those things and run out and just have ice cream every day, and you can be depressed because you're running out of your lithium. So lithium is highly significant. It's one of the easy fixes. Another one is for people who, if they want to have more libido, there's something out of, trying to think of the country. In Malaysia, it's an herb which is called Tongkat Ali. Tongkat Ali has other names, but that's the most common name, Tongkat Ali. And Tongkat Ali helps to kick estrogen out of the body. Any man with belly issues should follow my instructions before, or women who have low libido, or men with low libido with their wives. Because remember, a man can have high libido with a stranger, but not having it with his wife. That means he has low testosterone. And Tongkat Ali helps the body to make more testosterone. It's not testosterone. You don't want to take it, you want to make it. It kicks estrogen out of the body. So that's one of these natural substances besides cruciferous vegetables, this herb, Tongkat Ali. Now there's many other herbs as well that are helpful, but what I've seen is the most powerful is Tongkat Ali because it's handling this new issue that we have, which is too much estrogen. It increases the production of testosterone as well as kicks out bad estrogens. It doesn't kick out good estrogens for women. So it will help the liver to release this toxicity.
And that's for men only?
No, for women too.
Oh, for both.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It can help women get rid of the bad estrogens. Because see, bad estrogens tell the brain of a woman, this is very important, say to the woman's brain that you have plenty of estrogen. If a woman's brain says, I have plenty of estrogen, then it says, I don't need anybody. I can do it myself. Mm. And that's what's happening to women today because they're eating the bad estrogens, the meats with the hormones added. They're eating the food with pesticides. This is all new stuff. And suddenly she doesn't feel the need for a relationship. She doesn't miss having a man in her life. She doesn't miss companionship. She's just going to work all the time. And that's because her brain thinks, I've got plenty of estrogen. What do I need a man for? Now, yeah. It's not like men are the only sources of stimulation of estrogen. They're just the biggest. But if you were sick and you went to a doctor, that means you're depending on them. Whenever you depend on someone for something, you're trusting them, you're depending on them, then that dependence increases estrogen. Okay, so being in a relationship where you're interdependent, part of interdependence is depending on someone. And if they're not there for you, then you can take care of yourself. So that's interdependence, okay? Not all dependent on someone, but if on the day when they're in a good mood, you can be dependent on them. On a day when he's in his cave, you can take care of yourself. On a day when my wife isn't happy, I can be dependent on her for my feeling even happier. And if she's in a bad mood, I can just not depend on her for my happiness, but I can actually do something to help her find her happiness, but I'm not responsible for her happiness. This freed me. You know, most men, if their wives are unhappy, they feel like it's his fault. And then he goes, well, that's not my fault. It's your fault. You should be happy. They get defensive and argumentative. And once you realize that not your job, your job is to help her find her happiness, and women find their happiness is their job. And you can help by hugs, 4 hugs a day. You can plan dates occasionally. You can listen to her, be affectionate with her. This is how you help her find her happiness, not it's my job. And that just frees us from this control. Because then we're trying to change our partners all the time for us to feel good, as opposed to freedom. That's what we want today is freedom. But at the same time, we have to be responsible.
So those are the two ingredients. Okay.
That's two. There's lots, you know. In my website, if people have access to being able to order online, at my website, I've got 40 different supplements. There's supplements to help people sleep that are all natural. There's supplements that will help lower your stress even more, like anxiety. There's supplements for your skin. Here's another cheap one. I'm just trying to do the easy ones. It's something called MSM.
Oh, I love MSM.
You take it because I was looking at your skin. So that's why I thought about, within a month, women, you'll notice your skin glows, wrinkles would become less, it tightens up more. It's an amazing, it's very bitter. And I don't even take it in capsules. I say it's cheaper to buy a little thing, a powder. I take a teaspoon in the morning and a teaspoon at dinner time, or 2 teaspoons in the morning. But you have to slowly build up to it because it also will kick estrogen out of your body and any other toxins. So that's another really great supplement to build up to taking 2 teaspoons a day or even 4 for some people. It just, you'll notice your skin. I mean, that's the amazing thing. But when your skin changes, it's because you're getting younger. Everything in your body gets younger as it cleans you out. That's why you can't start with the high doses I just talked about, or teaspoons, normal dose. You have to start with maybe 1/4 of a teaspoon once a day because it'll start detoxifying your body. So you might feel a little tired and sluggish. But after a couple of days, you feel good and you can increase the dose. So MSM is another really powerful one. for kids with ADHD, all the things I just mentioned are great. Now, the best is, you know, I have a protein shake that I designed. There's more to how I designed it, but it's what happens is our brains were developed from mother's milk. Mother's milk is fantastic if your body can digest it. People today cannot digest cow's milk. There's two reasons, well, probably several reasons, but one of the reasons we can't process cow's milk is cows, there's two types of protein in milk. One is called casein. Casein builds muscle mass and brain function, dopamine. Whey protein makes serotonin, the yin energy. So whey is yin energy, casein is yang energy. Cow's milk is 90% yang energy, 10% whey. Mother's milk is about equal. For baby boys, mothers make a little bit more yang milk. And for baby girls, actually the mother's body will make it according to who's taking it. It's amazing. So there'll be more whey protein. And for a little girl, there's more casein protein for the boy. But today, our digestion, because we're so out of balance, we're so stressed, it's very hard for people to tolerate milk. And for Asians, it may be that it's very hard as well because it hasn't been a part of their heritage. But mm-hmm. still, they use their mother's milk. And if you find the right balance, so what I did is I created a shake which takes casein from the cow and whey from the cow and balancing it like mother's milk. So right now, it's now back to the human form, not way out of balance for cows, but for humans. The men's shake has 60% protein, casein, 40% whey, and the women have 60 whey, 40% protein, casein. So you get the right male-female balance. The next thing is that because we're stressed, we can't digest the milk, and people say, oh, you know, the baby's all the brain that develops with milk. So this is universal. So, but we don't have, some of us don't have the DNA to make the enzymes, and some of us are just stressed, and we don't have the enzymes to digest the milk. Even though as babies we did, we might lose it. So the pre-made shake has the right balance of these proteins, but they're not pasteurized. When you pasteurize dairy, when you heat it up, it becomes indigestible. So dairy has become this bad word in the whole personal growth movement because it's indigestible. It doesn't give you the benefits. It's also out of balance. It's cow, not human. So you get the right balance. You get unheated whey protein, casein protein. That's called undenatured. Okay, it's just the way it was when it was natural. Now, once you do that, then you, in the mix, there's enzymes. So I put into the mix the very enzymes necessary to digest casein and whey. And then what happens is you put it in a blender at room temperature, and then you let it sit out for 35 to 45 minutes, and it cooks. Literally, those enzymes break down all of the proteins so you don't have to digest it. It becomes pre-digested. It bubbles a little bit. And you drink it, it's like air. Just goes right into your brain.
Wow.
Completely absorbed. This has never been done before on the planet. This is like amazing discovery. You know,
and we can find it on your site.
That's the Mars Venus Superfood Shakes, and you can get that on the site. And you'll notice it within 2 days, people with ADD type symptoms, waiting to the last minute for the emergency to motivate you, lack of motivation, addiction to drama, all these things. You have to make behavioral changes, but yeah. To let your body go along with the behavioral changes, you need to provide the extra nutrition. So I have one there. I have something called Super Minerals, which has got the lithium orotate, along with cofactors. Now that's the more advanced. I figured out the cofactors that make lithium work even better. And that's calcium, magnesium, and zinc orotate, and potassium orotate. So they're all the orotates that go right into the mineral, low doses. And you take the superfood shake. And the other thing that I recommend is also, this will help. You can get the mix for it. You can make it at home. It's just lemon and water. It's so important to start your day with lemon and water. What lemon does, if it's on an empty stomach, is it goes to the liver and releases fat. And that fat is estrogen. So that's another thing men can do, women can do, to get rid of the bad estrogens in the body. So your body says, oh.
Can you just drink the juice? Because I love to just drink the juice of lemon, one lemon in the morning.
That sounds great. That's just knock it in there. But drinking some water is always good in the morning too. And the key to it. The key to it is I have a little powder which has the lemon and it also has a little bit of sweetener and it has enzymes in it, has minerals in it, has a lot of stuff in it, probiotics, which are also good. All that is called the super cleanse. So I start today with a super cleanse, super minerals, then super food shake, and I'm good. And that will take me all the way to dinner quite easily. And right now, as I mentioned before, what I do sometimes is not have anything but a cup of coffee in the morning, and then I'll have a superfood shake in the afternoon or towards dinner and get all those extra brain nutrients. But you can feel it right away when your brain gets the nutrition it wants. And what people have to know is that when you're stressed or unhappy, your body can't digest protein. If you can't digest protein, you can't produce the amino acids necessary to convert into dopamine and serotonin, which is what we've been talking about. And so that's really, really important, is that we take digestive enzymes or we're relaxed and happy. But when it comes to dairy products, almost, you know, if you take yogurt has been digested in a sense by the bacteria, but it doesn't have the right balance in it, and it's not as concentrated as this shake. But you take this, you let it digest, and it only digests if it's room temperature. You can't put ice in it. After you make the digestion, 45 minutes, if you want to make it taste better, put some ice in and blend it up. It's like a milkshake. And it's got all the vitamins in it, omega-3s in it, other things in it as well. But what makes it different from all the other superfood shakes is this unique blend of proteins. It's not heat processed. It has the enzymes added. And you follow the protocol of waiting 35 to 45 minutes. Now, if you don't wait those minutes, it's still a delicious shake. It's as good as anything else, but it doesn't give you the real extra benefit. And in Switzerland, they did the tests on it, and they found that normal proteins, when people eat them, whether it be meat, chicken, or whey protein shakes or soy shakes, any of these things, you're only going to digest 20 to 30%, and the rest turns into sugar, and you gain weight that way. If you let it sit and digest, your body utilizes 92%, and then the rest turns to sugar.
So. Well, thank you.
Anyway,
Oh, it has been so good. I mean, we cover so many different areas. We probably will cut it up.
Okay. I know it was a big, long talk. No. That's all available at the store at marsvenus.com. I have little videos to explain everything.
But I want to really thank you from the bottom of my heart for you taking the time to just cover all these different areas. You're a treasure trove of information and data. And this is exactly what I wanted for my network. Exactly.
Oh, good.
For you to just kind of download your basic information, and you have so much more. So happy to have you with us, and all of our graduates and the people that we touch, the ShareNote community, we're all going to totally enjoy your teachings. So, John, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha.